Okay, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
These words.
These words.
Are coming alive.
Are coming alive.
For me.
For me.
Amen.
Amen.
I was rehearsing some of the words that came through a young man that was with us when Pastor Jay came. His name was David. And those of you who were with us, he was sharing a little bit about the timing that we are in. And the timing that we are in is really that the Lord's kingdom is coming into the earth, and it's causing all kinds of circumstances. We talked about individual earth earlier, but I want to take you to Isaiah number 60. Isaiah number 60. His comments were about the Lord is rising upon us, and his glory will appear over us. And verse 3 says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Well, what is the dawn? That's the beginning of a
new day.
Yeah. But in reality, God's day does not start at dawn. But he specifies in this word that it's dawn. The light is coming. But God's day starts at night, at sundown. And I learned that when I was in Israel. So I said to the Lord, what do you want to work with tonight? He said, I want you to declare, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon me. Try it on. Arise, shine, for my light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon me. Ah, it's no longer a message for somebody else. Now it's a message for
me.
Me. All right. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. Oh. How many have a few people that you know that are caught in thick darkness? Yeah. Why do you have to think twice? Because you probably got a dozen of them or more that are stuck in darkness. And the more you try to tell them, what happens to you?
They get railroaded.
Yeah. So isn't it better felt than telt? Mm-hmm. In other words, you can talk till the cows come home, and they won't come home. But if you trust the Lord, he might send a dog. Yes?
Yes.
The dog will take a couple of nips on their shins, because that's what my dog used to do, or bite a little bit of their tail. And believe me, they moved. And he didn't have to woof too loud. Why? Because the dog knows how to handle cows. He knows how, God knows how to handle people. Okay? Darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. Thick darkness. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Now, why is it that the Lord is arising upon you and literally lighting you up? Why would he do that?
For his glory.
Huh?
For his glory.
Yeah. What's it going to do to the ones that are dead and stuck in darkness?
So they can see the light.
Yeah, but are they going to like it?
No. Probably not.
They may.
Well, you know, there was a discussion at one of our experiences. So there's three or four people, and they're all comparing how many medications they're on. My wife pipes up and said, "Yeah, but." So I'm not saying a word. I'm just listening, right? She says, "Him," meaning me. All he takes is a few vitamins. And so someone else piped up and said, "Yeah, that's what makes us jealous." I said, "Well, now that's a good compliment, you know, because I don't need anything, okay? The biggest thing I probably take is a Bufferin once in a while because of congestion. Why? Because it just happens to be the relief, all right? So, but you see, my light is irritating
darkness.
Yeah. Your light is going to irritate
the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day.
It's personal. Yes? It's personal. Watch now. The Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Oh. Well, when they're behind you, the conversation is different than when they're in front of you.
Yep.
Who said good?
Somebody else.
Good. You know why? Because when they're talking about you, they're intrigued about why you get blessed and they're not getting blessed. I had one making a comment a while back, and I said, "Do you realize that maybe you should put some seeds in your garden?" And they said, "Well, yeah, but," I said, "Well, the Lord said that we should give in order to receive. Anybody who's going to make a garden is going to put seeds in the garden. If you don't put seeds in the garden, don't expect a harvest." Amen?
Amen.
So how many of you have ever planted tomatoes? All right, I did too. Now, I like to plant when the plant is already started. But one of my friends starts it from seed, so he starts in January.
Wow.
So by the time that June comes around, his plants are yay. But he has the special lights, he has the special containers and all this stuff. And well, I'm glad that he's got the time. I just don't. But the bottom line is, the message is, if we obey the Lord and we do things his way, he will bless us. And we may not always understand, but you see, the glory of your freedom appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The dawn is the beginning of something, and it's a beginning of exposure of light. Yes? Because when you have the lights in your house going, that's because there's darkness outside. But in the morning, you can shut the lights off, right? Well, what's going to happen? Lift up your eyes, look all about you, all assemble to come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy, and the wealth of the sea will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Well, you say, whoa, isn't that cool? But that's your future. I was pressed to have that schooner anointed tonight. I didn't know exactly where we were going to anoint it, but when I found myself touching the area of the back where the rudder is, and then before we finished, I felt we needed to just touch the whole bottom part. I don't understand all of these things that are symbolic. I'm not telling you that I do, because I don't. But I've learned to obey without understanding. Bypassing my brain is the most awesome gift that I have learned. But it took a long time, Joe.
Sure.
Bypassing this box is going to cost you. But the benefits of listening and obeying are going to bring you into a new kingdom. And not everybody enters that kingdom at the same time. I always thought it was going to be a massive thing. No. I truly believe there are areas in our country that have been set aside. And one of them can go across the country when you follow Interstate 90. That was prophesied before we moved to Chicopee. It was prophesied by Rick Joyner on a cell phone, believe it or not, because his airplane had to land in the middle of New York State because he was on his way to give us a teaching. And he landed and they couldn't get the parts for his plane to fly the rest of the way, so he did it by phone. We were in a church in Albany, and that's what he dictated, that there would be places of relief or places of safety along Interstate 90, going right straight across the country. And the Lord had already showed me a dream. And in the dream, we were supposed to be by the airport. And I knew that there's no other airports in this area except where my friend John used to work. Yes? Yes?
What do you mean?
Wasn't he part of the Air Force?
Westover.
Yeah. Oh, Westover, yes.
Ah, you're awake now.
No, I was thinking of Bradley. I'm going, no. Yeah, Westover.
Westover.
Yes.
Okay. Where were we? We were right at the end of the runway, and then they fly right up when we were at the Econo Lodge, and they do the same thing here from the other side. Mm-hmm. So we went from one side to the other side of the runway. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Why? Because God is precise. God wants us to be where we're at, and he's testing us if we're looking at ourselves or if we're looking to him. If I look at myself and I say, well, you know what? There's only a handful of people. We might as well close up shop and forget it. Or are we getting ready for a blessing?
Getting ready for a blessing.
Yeah, but it's up to us. Okay? It's up to us to listen and obey, continue to download what he wants from his, you know, download of information into our hearts, recognizing that when he shows us flashes and stuff, it's because he's got a plan. All right?
Yeah.
Now, Peggy had a vision last week of three fountain, and they were in
spigots.
Yeah. Right. And the spigots were pouring out. And to me, she pointed out one thing today, because we talked this morning. She called me for a change. Usually I'm the one that's calling her. And she said, by the way, One of them had a note coming out of it, and that didn't make any sense to us because we talked about it yesterday. But this morning, she ended up with a little more revelation, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the lightning bolt that didn't make much sense.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right. But she saw it.
Yeah.
And the note coming out of the spigot was also like a trumpet. So to me, that vision has something to do with the Feast of Trumpets, which is around the corner. Huh. Yeah. So there are pieces of the puzzle that come together a little bit at a time. Okay? Verse 6. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, proclaiming the praises of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who's going to do it?
He is.
I will. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to honor the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Watch verse 10. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. Their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nations or kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. Ha ha. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine, the fir, and the cypress together, to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. The sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who have despised you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Now, on Sunday, I was giving you insight as to the reformation of pulling in the Jews and the Israelites and bringing them home. Today, I'm trying to show you that what he's showing us is Israel and the church will be one. So churchianity, who has kept the Jews out, is serving a different Jesus. Didn't St. Paul say some of you are serving another Jesus? Yeah. I was part of some of that. They were not serving the Jesus that I know, and neither was I. I knew his name, but I didn't understand his nature. All I knew is it was a name of one who had died for me. And I didn't understand that either. It was rituals upon rituals, rather than experience and relationship. When you and I are called of God to become what the church was at the beginning, tell me where the church was born.
In the upper room.
The upper room. Oh, okay. Where was that? Downtown Rome or downtown Jerusalem?
Jerusalem.
Why? How many Romans were in that group? Zero. Ah. when the Holy Spirit said to me, you are to obey and celebrate my feasts. I can only tell you that that was the beginning of persecution. And that was back at Grace Church. And my first persecution came from the pastor who didn't want to change the traditions that he was involved in. And his background was different than mine. But finally, after convincing him with the scriptures, he finally said, okay, you can celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for the first time. And it was letting the body of Christ come alive when I explained it several times, several weeks. And I can only tell you that the glory of the Lord shone in that room. And I can also tell you that when Gino walked into the sanctuary that had been decorated for the occasion, he looked at me, he smiled, and then his face was just unbelievably overwhelmed. And the next day he said, I never thought that the body would come together to show glory to God in this manner. He says, I was overwhelmed last night. The anointing was so intense. So he wasn't afraid to say I was wrong. Then it took about 3 years, and then we were allowed to celebrate Passover. And when we celebrated Passover, that made even the angry ones more angry. And the fruit of that was it rained in the main sanctuary. It was rain that was provided by the anointing of the Lord. I got it on my head. The lady who was behind me got it all over her keyboard. And she was concerned. She says, my keyboard's going to explode because it's raining in the building.
No, it's not. You'll be all right.
That's exactly what I told her, but I was getting wet too. Why? Because if you honor the Lord with his feast, he's not going to go without showing you what he wants.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So what am I saying? I'm saying to you tonight, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon me and you. See, it's not for then, it's for now. It's not for them, it's for me and you. Huh. You got a divine appointment? Yeah. Feast of Trumpets, that's the first area. It's going to happen very soon, the end of the month. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm excited.
I am excited.
You're shining in me.
You're shining in me.
And your glory.
And your glory
is rising upon me.
Is rising upon me.
And it will be a testimony.
And it will be a testimony.
To you and you alone.
To you and you alone.
Because people will treat me different.
Because people will treat me different.
And I'll know.
And I'll know.
It's because.
It's because.
The glory is shining in me.
Is shining in me.
And it irritates the darkness.
And it irritates the darkness.
That's my confirmation.
That's my confirmation.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
You got it. Lisa, you having a good time?
Yeah.
You having a good time?
Yeah.
You having a good time?
Yeah.